It is a great, beautiful day that God has given us. What an honor and privilege it is to be here. A beautiful day, even though when I came in earlier, it was a little bit misty and overcast, but that's okay, because it's a beautiful day the Lord has made, and he's blessed us with the opportunity to be here. I want to welcome everyone, especially the visitors among us. We're so thankful that you're here, and even a familiar face I haven't seen in a while. But we're so grateful that you're here. We want you to know that you are wanted and needed, and it encourages us greatly you made that decision to be here with us. Now, I want us to begin thinking this morning. I want you to think, how did you get here? Now, I'm not talking about, you know, did you drive or did you walk here? I want you to think about, how did you get to where you are right now, spiritually speaking? Now, of course, if where you're at spiritually speaking is going to affect where you are in other areas of your life, but I want you to think about, how'd you get to right to where you're at right now? You know, is it like the prodigal son, right? You know, you're driven to your knees, and it's kind of that palm to the forehead, and you're thinking, you know, how did I get here? You know, what decisions have I made in the past that led me to this point where I've been driven to my knees? Right? How did I get here? And like the prodigal son, if you remember, came from a wealthy family. He left his father's house to go live wastefully, prodigally. Right? And so much so, he's in that pig pen, and he's feeding the pigs, and he looks at that pig food and thinks, I could eat that. How did he get there? Thankfully, we read that he came to his senses. So I want you to think about it, you know, and we can't read your heart. We don't know. But you know, if you're on this wrong path over here and you find yourself spiritually in the pig pen and you're thinking, how did I get here? What paths have I chosen to be where I'm at? Now, on the other side of that, in a good sense, when we ask and answer that question, how to get here, you know, maybe everything's going well with you and your faith is strong and it's growing and you're active in the Lord's body. And you started to count all your blessings, and there's just too many blessings to count, and you think, wow, how did I get here? I don't deserve to be here. So this morning, will you think about where you are spiritually? Really, really give some serious thought to where are you? You know, how did you get there? Because life is all about the journey, and every journey has a destination. And our main study text this morning will be from the book of 1 Samuel. Real quick, mention something in chapter 24. We're gonna jump back, and then we're going to end in 1 Samuel chapter 24. And I want us to be reminded of two men here on completely different journeys, and they arrived in life at two completely different places. And if you can imagine, a man like Saul, right, who knew David was the anointed. He knew that God chose him to be king over his chosen people. We're not just talking about the office of mayor. We're talking about being king over God's people. And then Saul is thinking, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill God's anointed. So how did Saul get on this path over here, where he's at that point in his life where he says, yeah, I don't care, he's God's anointed, I'm going to kill him. What led him to that? How did he get there? And then we have David, same story. A man, we're told, is a man after God's own heart. David, who is a man here in this story, we're gonna read toward the end of the lesson, had an opportunity to kill the man that was trying to kill him, but he doesn't do it. Why? Well, why does he not kill the man that's been trying to kill him for 7 years? Right? In short, we're going to see, he's like, you know, I'm not going to go against God's plan. So how did David get on this path over here? How did he get there? And so we're just going to skim a few passages here. I want to think about how David ended up with that type of commitment. And over here, Saul, where he's to the point, I'm going to kill God's anointed. And so just a few stories here in the book of 1 Samuel. Three of these chapters, I want to examine about how did Saul get on this path, right? And then two of the chapters, think about how did David get on this other path. And then again, we're going to close chapter 24 and point out something important here. And in all of this, hopefully, we're going to see that there's this path of righteousness. There's this path that has great reward. Now listen, it's narrow and it's difficult, but it's a path Jesus is on, and it leads to great reward. And there's this other path over here. It's broad and it's easy, right? And Satan's on this path. And don't be naive. The end of this path leads to eternal destruction. So where are you? And hopefully this morning, if we find ourselves on this other path over here, that we'll come to our senses and we'll say, this is the day that I change the direction of my life. Today's the day that I'm honest about the path that I'm on, and I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to change paths. Right? That's the complete intent of your Bible. Right? It's a message of hope, but it's also a message of warning. It's a message of hope to get on the right path, stay on the right path, and a message of warning if you don't leave that destructive path. So where are you this morning? Right, we're all going to be honest with ourselves before God this morning concerning the path that we're on. So start with me in 1 Samuel chapter 13. Saul is still king here. And he was. Now, try to imagine this in your mind. If you look at verse 5, Saul and his men, surrounded by 30,000 chariots, 6,000 cavalry, countless infantry soldiers. And now, Saul here, and this is a continual characteristic of Saul. Look at verse 6. Right, we read that Saul became afraid, and that's a continual characteristic of people that are on this wrong path. They're always afraid. Right, you have that constant fear of there's something wrong in my heart and in my life. Right, so if you're constantly afraid, that is a constant characteristic of somebody on the wrong path. Unlike David, we're going to read in just a little bit on this other path over here, he wasn't afraid, he had courage. He knew God was with him and for him, and he could withstand his enemy, and he wasn't afraid. He knew God was with him. So Saul, he's not doing that, right? And he looks around, he becomes nervous, and the people are afraid because their leader is afraid. Now it's time to offer a burnt offering before the big battle, a peace offering. And God's been very clear on who can and cannot offer the offerings, right? It needs to be a priest, Samuel. Now, Samuel's late, right? And so what does Saul do? He's like, well, Samuel's not here. Hey, listen, it's like he said, listen, I'm king. I can offer the sacrifice. But God has been very clear on who was and was not to make sacrifice. Only the priests could do it. And so he makes the offering. Look at Saul's excuse in verse 12. Then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. Now, Saul's explaining why he did it, but notice Samuel's response in verse 13. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. Next verse tells us that God began to seek a man that would lead Israel in a way that God wanted Israel to be led. Why? Well, because it was fear and pride that moved him into foolish actions. And speaking of foolish actions, go to chapter 14. Now, this is a chapter, real quick, with Jonathan's help. Jonathan was Saul's son. They were getting the advantage over the Philistines, right? That continual enemy of the children of Israel. And instead of Saul being humble and rewarding his soldiers, he makes this rash vow. Look at verse 24. Saul vowed that no man will eat until past the evening time when I have vengeance on my enemies. You can just hear the pride there, right? I have vengeance on my enemy. Now think about that. You've got men at war, and you're going to tell them they can't eat. And not only that, you're going to punish them with death if they do eat. And not only that, how are you going to communicate that to your men scattered about? You see, Saul was not a man of wisdom. Right? There's many things that prove he was not a man of wisdom. Now think about it. What is a characteristic of someone on this wrong path? Well, they're fearful. They're pride-filled. And please get this and understand this. Foolishness always follows pride. And fear, I'd add to that. Now, Jonathan, his son, great warrior, he's described as wise and considerate, a lot like David. Well, he doesn't hear this rash vow that his father made, right? It didn't get communicated to him, so he's walking in the wilderness, sees some honey, dips his rod in the honey and begins to eat. Then he hears about this rash vow that his father made. He learns what his father had foolishly done. Look at chapter 14 and verse 29. And this is how Jonathan describes it. Jonathan said, "My father has troubled the land." Now let that sink in. Is that how you are described? Right? Did the people in your life say that about you? Right? Is there chaos and trouble everywhere you go? Right? Chaos in your family, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your relationships. What's the common denominator there? Is it you? Listen, it is a constant characteristic of somebody on the wrong path. Right? Chaos and trouble follow them everywhere. Right? Fill in the blank here. Whatever role you play in life, my father has troubled our family. My mother has troubled our family. My husband has troubled our marriage. My wife has troubled our marriage. Right? My coworker has troubled the workplace. My neighbor has troubled the neighborhood. Right? Everything used to be fine until they moved in. Right? Is there trouble and chaos all around you? If there is, are you the common denominator? Because that is an indication you are on the wrong path. So you think about, what is this path over here that we're identifying? Right? It's a path filled with pride. It's filled with foolishness. It's filled with rash words and rash actions. And it brings trouble wherever it goes. Chapter 15 next here. Now we're going to see disobedience, right? And this is the final straw for God with Saul. Now, listen, God is just. Evil has to be punished. And so he's going to give some instructions to Saul and the children of Israel to go destroy the Amalekites. Now real quick, if you don't remember, don't know, back in Deuteronomy chapter 2, children of Israel are traveling, a large group of people, and you can imagine all the elderly and the weak and the children would have been in the end of that big caravan, and the Amalekites come in and attack the defenseless and kill a bunch of the Israelites. So God says they're going to be punished. Now he's going to use Saul to do that. Right? This is Saul's job, even though it's many years later. And so in chapter 15, Saul and the army of Israel are commanded to go in. And if you look at verse 3, go and utterly destroy them all. Every living thing is to be destroyed. Except Saul. spares the best and slays the rest, verse 9, verse 15. And Saul brings back the king and the best of the oxen and the cattle. He brings back the best of everything. And you can just imagine all the best, he's going to bring it back. Now, of course, Samuel is very disappointed in Saul. Right? And he begins to question Saul. And then Samuel even hears the livestock, you know, bleeding and making noise in the background. The livestock that was supposed to be destroyed. And so, again, Saul disobeys and he tries to lie his way through this, right? And he declares, if you look at verses 20 and 21, he's basically, it's the people's fault, right? Deflecting the blame, right? And then in the midst of that, declares, hey, we obeyed everything God said. And let me ask you, now we're going to read this passage here. I want you to listen closely, even if you've heard this verse many times. I want you to listen with fresh ears. Listen like you've never heard it before. Think deeply about this. You know, and think about, what is this pathway over here that we're identifying with Saul? Right? This path Saul was on and the reason why he kept all the livestock. Right? Saul said he's going to keep all the really good stuff to make a really good sacrifice, verse 15 and verse 21. And keep in mind, this is all a result of disobedience to God. Are you with me? So I want you to look at verse 22. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Now, you understand what he's saying? He's saying, so you're going to bring in a disobedient way, you're bringing all of these sacrifices and think since they're great sacrifices that it's going to be acceptable to God? And you can imagine Samuel just shaking his head and sometimes thinking, where's this guy coming from? But notice he compares this. He says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifices and to heed the fat of rams. Right? For rebellion, verse 23, is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness, as iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. Now listen, idolatry, witchcraft, in that day and time, as it should be today, was greatly looked down upon, like it should be today, every form and representation of it. And so what he's saying here, he's saying disobedience to God is so bad that it's like that. That's how bad it is. Witchcraft, idolatry. Right? And that disobedient comes to someone on this wrong path and they think, I'm going to approach God by my standards. What's acceptable to me? What looks good to me? Right? I brought back the best for the best sacrifice, but listen, that's not what God commanded. Yeah, I know, but it looked good to me, and if it looks good to me, then surely it's acceptable to God. Right? Think about Cain. Same thing. But that is a constant characteristic of somebody on this wrong path. They don't care about obeying God and doing what's acceptable in his eyes. Now, let's think about a better path this morning. Let's think about another, a better man. Now, who's this man going to be? Go to chapter 16 of 1 Samuel. And Samuel is sent to Jesse's house. Jesse's David's father. Sent several sons. He's going there. God told him to anoint the new king. Now, Samuel sees him. David's not there at that point, and he sees Eliab, the oldest, and you know, a handsome, young, strapping, tall man. Thinks surely this is who God chooses. Right? But then we know this passage well. God says no, verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as a man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So really, what we're seeing here, it's an order of priority, right? What's your focus? He said, I want a heart that has a focus on God. Right? A heart that thinks like God, a heart that's on this right path. And heart, by the way, in your Old Testament Hebrew, is the idea of your deepest desire. Right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. It's your deepest desire. What is your deepest desire? Right? My deepest desire is to walk worthy toward my master. That's our theme for the year. Right? My deepest desire is to get that final destination where there's great reward, to be with my Lord and Savior for eternity. That's my deepest desire. My deepest desire is not to trouble the people around me. My deepest desire is to be obedient to the Lord. My deepest desire is to set an example of wisdom and godliness. So what does this man do here? Go to chapter 17. Right, he goes to battle against Goliath. Remember, Goliath stood before Saul and the army of God for 40 days. Twice a day, he would go out, he would mock the God of Israel and his army. And Saul and all of his men, what were they doing? Look at verse 11. They're just in fear, trembling. You see, they were greatly dismayed and greatly afraid. What do we say was a characteristic of somebody on the wrong path? Right, it's filled with those who are filled with fear. But then we see David showing up on the scene as a young man, and it just boiled his blood, spiritually speaking, that no one would do anything about it. Right, that this individual, Goliath, would stand in front of the army of God and defy God, and nobody was doing anything about it. And so David speaks up. He said, I'm going to do something about it. Characteristic of somebody on the right path. Now keep in mind his older brother, Eliab, the one that Samuel thought was going to be king. Right, he sees David do that, and he says this to David in verse 28. Now Eliab, his older brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, why do you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and your insolence of heart, for you have come down to see the battle. Now, what's David's answer going to be? Does David strike back? No, David has a heart like God. Right? And you know what David's concerned about? He's not concerned about putting his brother in his place. David is concerned here about keeping God in his heart in the right place or correct path. And is God going to be David's priority? And I love the answer. David's answer, verse 29. And David said, what have I done? Is there not a cause? And I absolutely love that answer. Is there not a cause? Now, isn't David at this point looking at this Philistine giant who's mocking God, mocking his army, and he's looking around as if to say, isn't there at least one man here who believes in the cause of God enough to go stand up for it? But these other men, they're like their leader Saul. Maybe they're on the wrong path also. Because over here on the wrong path, it's about pride. And see, pride is about me going out there, and it's about me. I might get hurt. You see, pride is about, if I go out there, it's me going against a giant. Right, it'd be about me standing before a giant, you know, and I don't know if I can do that. But David over here on this other path, he's in a right relationship with God. Right, and David over here is a man after God's own heart. And so, you know, immediately what he's thinking, you know, if I die, I die. If I live, I live. But I know this, God's cause is worth fighting for, and I believe God will deliver me. I believe that God will place Goliath into my hands. And I love this part. He literally goes on to tell Goliath. That's why I had Brother Tom lead the song. He literally tells him, verse 45 and 46, this battle, it belongs to the Lord. And indeed, it did belong to the Lord. And so I want you to see this. We're going to begin to wind down in just a moment here. That along with humility comes great courage and strength. Right? But along with pride comes a lot of fear. A lot of weakness, rash words, rash actions, disobedience. Right? Saul and his men, they're weak because they're following a leader who is full of pride. But then David, he shows up, great strength, but it's not in himself, and he recognizes that. He recognizes the strength of the God that he serves. Because he believed that there was a cause worth dying for. And I hope we all believe that about the cause of Christianity. Right? I'll sacrifice anything for the kingdom. Right? You can look through the new covenant and understand that's what it's supposed to be. Right? Stephen believed in the cause of Christ so much in Acts 7 that he would preach a sermon and die at the end of that sermon. Paul believed in the cause of Christ so much that he thought it was so important, 2 Timothy 4:7, that he knew that he was finishing his race, and not because he's dying of old age, by the way, but because he was going to be killed for running that race. Do you believe in the cause of Christ that much? Now, let's finish where we started in 1 Samuel chapter 24. So David, he's been on the run from Saul for about 7 years. Saul had grown very jealous of David. Saul became fearful of David, so I'm going to kill him. And David, of course, in that time was on the run and from Saul and the Israelite army and spent time with his enemies, lived a lot in the caves. And by the way, that's where a lot of the Psalms were written. And it just so happened, Saul's looking for David in the wilderness of En-Gedi. And in verse 3 it says, Saul went into the cave to attend to his needs. And this is where David and his men are hiding. And, David and his men could see Saul, but Saul couldn't see them. And if you play it out, you read a little more in there, his men were thinking, perfect time. Now David can kill Saul. Right? God has delivered Saul into your hand, David, do it. And David doesn't do that. What he does do is he creeps up to Saul and takes a knife and cuts off just a little corner of his robe as evidence that he could have killed him. It doesn't kill him. I want to close with helping us see what I think is a very powerful point and why he didn't kill Saul. I want to read verse 6 and then verse 12. Right, so this is how David explains it in verse 6. And he said to his man, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." Right? Again, he's been on the run for 7 years, living in caves. Would this be your mindset? Hey, David, this is your chance to kill the man who's made your life miserable, the man that's been trying to kill you for all this time. And David says, no. Well, why not? Well, because he's my master, because he is the Lord's anointed. Now, the question for us becomes, because, right, we're on this right path, we're trying to be on the right path, do you respect God's plan enough to follow his plan, to follow the plan that God has, right? David would not take into his own hand any action against God's anointed. Right? David was waiting on him. It tells us, verse 12, "Let the Lord judge between you and me." Now he's talking to Saul face to face. "And let the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you." Do you respect the plan of God enough to submit to it? So much that you would not act against God. Listen, this is a characteristic of somebody that's on the right path. seeking the will of God in your life and not go against it. Now over here, this path would be like, you know, especially with even vengeance, for example. I know God says vengeance is mine, but I'm going to speed up his plan a little bit, or I don't think God got enough vengeance, right? God's not working on my timetable, so I'm going to do this, that, and the other. Right? Just characteristics of somebody on the wrong plan in that one example. But here's this other man on the right path. He said, look, I've had to run, live with my enemies, live in caves. I've had to look over my shoulder constantly. But if it's not God's timetable for Saul to die, I'll keep running. I'll keep suffering. I'll keep putting up with the pain that this life brings to me. But I'm going to do it God's way. And listen, everyone here has had situations and struggles that they've dealt with. But I assure you this, if you just start plunging and plowing through those things based on your thoughts and your feelings, based on, I just can't wait any longer, what you're going to find out is that you're going to be on this road over here that's the wrong path, and it's filled with fear and anger and pain and foolishness and disobedience and all of that. But if we can say there's nothing more that I want in my heart than to serve God and spend eternity with him, right? God, I'll stand for you. I believe in your cause. Right? No matter the cost, Lord, I respect you and I will wait upon you. No matter how long it takes, no matter what it costs me, I'll wait and I'll do it your way. Something wonderful we were talking about in our Bible class in the annex this morning was providence. Listen, whatever has happened to you in your entire life, God has allowed you to be here this morning. Victories or failures throughout your life, he's allowed you to be here this morning for a reason. And I pray that the reason is that you recognize, if you're on the wrong path, that you recognize you're on that wrong path. And you admit, Lord, I'm on the wrong path. I'm coming to my senses. You find yourself in that spiritual pig pen like the prodigal son. And you're going to make that change. I want to end with this here. There's a story told about several artists who were asked to illustrate their concept of temptation through a painting. And when the paintings were revealed, some of them depicted man's attempt to achieve fame and fortune at any cost. Others pictured mankind's struggle against the alluring desires of the flesh. But the prize-winning canvas was quite different. It portrayed a quiet country lane with a man walking down among inviting shade and beautiful flowers all around. And in the distance, the path divided into two roads, one leading to the right, the other to the left. And the road that veered left looked almost as inviting as the one that went to the right. But if the traveler chose to take the path on the left, he would soon find himself mired in the mud. Right? The artist was conveying the thought that sin's allurements are extremely subtle, and they present themselves as just an innocent-looking fork in the road. The path of the wicked may seem harmless at first, and we tell ourselves, I would never fall into gross sin. But that's just the kind of thinking that can divert us from the path of righteousness. Psalm 1, verse 1, the lesson is after this. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. This morning, we're going to sing a song in just a moment here, a song of invitation. And during that time, I want you to think about you know, where are you? And I want you to think about one more slide here before you turn that off, the words of Jesus. He says, follow me. Where are you? And Jesus says, follow me. So I want you to be honest with where you are. Listen, if you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, you're on the wrong path, right? And before you make that decision to put on Christ and baptism with a response of faith, understand the cost and the difficult nature of it. Anyone that's been a Christian for any amount of time, they're going to tell you it's not easy. And that's okay, because it's the only path, it's the best path. So that's the first call this morning, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, or if you have, and along the way you lost your way, you lost the path, right? It's time to come home. You're going to be honest. Come to your senses and come home. And we'd love to help you with that. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. Whatever your need is spiritually, we'd love to help. Let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.